However, I would like to still be headliner material for small rooms, you know.
Well, I mean, if you're hitting 18 seconds of laughter per minute, you're at headliner level. I don't care what anybody says out there. I don't care what a comedy club owner says. It doesn't matter. If they make it up, see, I don't make my determinations on any subjective things.
Right.
It's about results. What is that those butts in the seats doing? And if the comedian is doing what they're supposed to do, then that the butts in the seats are blowing milk out their nose. That's the way that rolls.
But, I mean, even in small rooms, I mean, sometimes I do pretty well in small rooms, but, you know, I don't know if you, the ones that you saw were at the Improv that had 200 to 300 people there. So, you know, according to that, I'm a comedy star, you know, but I don't
Exactly. I mean, and so I
but
don't know
sustained,
what to
I don't know
you,
if
you
I
have
can
to
do
be
it.
Able to look around you and say, I don't know how you use the, because you can cheat on Comedy Evaluator Pro. You can, you know, people can give
themselves right, you can
leave
the marker on
and blah, blah, which doesn't really help anything.
Right.
Doesn't give you an accurate measure. But the reality is if you take a look at the people around you who are performing, and it's been my experience that there's very few people that hit 40s. Very, very few people hit 40s in a room of 300 people, period.
Oh, really?
No.
Laugh or par?
Par, 40 par, 24 seconds of laughter per minute. People just don't hit that. If they do hit that, they're a Joan Rivers who's performing in front of 2,000 people or 2,500 people. They're a Jeff Foxworthy who's performing in front of 2,000 or 2,500 people.
Right.
That's who's doing that.
Okay.
As a general rule, it's not people. Now, that's the level I worked at when I was performing.
Cool.
In small rooms.
See, that's
small rooms, big rooms, it didn't matter.
Right.
You know, but you know, if you're hitting, to me, 24 seconds of laughter per minute average is a magical number. That's
cool.
Beyond headliner. And if you go to the comedy, I mean, it's all over. But Killer Stand Up, my comedy par score of the stars.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes.
Okay. Those are taken from real live performances. Only they didn't do it in front of 200 or 300 people. That's not where those performances get recorded at.
Oh, that's like what, thousands?
Yeah, thousands.
So then that's going to be a better score then.
That is exactly right. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
That's why, you know, if you can hit 30 in a really small room, you're smoking.
Okay.
And just look around at what everybody else is doing. Trust me, they're not hitting that. I promise you.
Okay. Well, okay. Then I need to. The funny thing is, Steve, is people are calling me for work now, and I could do 30 minutes, maybe more, but it's not tight, and it's, you know, I don't know if I could sustain the crowd for that long. So I've been starting to write, like you said, like you're writing an email to a friend. I've been starting to do that with different topics. And, you know, I need to get practice with it because I find it kind of awkward to put the smart aleck things in there because when I try to say them,
okay,
don't
let me
sound
stop
so
you
good.
Right there.
Yes.
Let me stop you right there. The important part of the comedy development process, deep, in my opinion, in the most important part, is not the reaction. It's starting with something that you can react to.
Okay.
The topic, the subject matter. It's no different than computers, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If something to you is mildly humorous, then your response is going to be mildly humorous.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay? If what you start out with touches you, you like talking about it, it's got the things that you want to say. You know, and there's no rocket science involved. It's going to be about some common thing
right.
that everybody knows about. But that doesn't matter. What matters is how it touches you.
Okay.
How much it interests you in the beginning. Then you take your talking points and you say, okay, what all kinds of things can I talk about on this? You put your talking points down. Then You go, how would I say these talking points to somebody else? If you were just talking to me, how would you say those to me? And you write it out just like you would say it. Then you react to each line that you say.
Okay.
Each line that you have in your comedy material. And that's how you start out with material that you can react to in the first place, because you've got to react, you know, depending upon the size of the audience and the type of material you're doing and blah, blah, blah. You've got to react 4, 6, 8, 10 times.
Right.
To the information that you're giving them every single minute.
Okay.
Am I making sense?
Yes, you are. You are. I'm trying to, you know, fit that into a couple topics I've tried. And, you know, I've told a couple stories to people, so I thought, well, these might be good topics. And because it's something I'm interested in, but then when I go to write it, it didn't sound as interesting, I guess.
Well, it's not about, it's not about the writing. And my point with the Claiborne Cox article is he doesn't use that many words. It's not about the words. Everybody focuses on this goddamn words.
Yes.
And it's not the words. It's the words coupled with. Let me just tell you. I want you to visualize this in your mind. Working with stand-up comedy words is like working with the steering wheel of a car. That's all. No car. Just the steering wheel. Okay? What's going to give you the power that you have on stage is going to be your performance, your delivery, your three-dimensional delivery, complete with voice inflection and tone, body language, head movements, facial expressions, blah, blah, blah. That's why you don't have to use so many words, is because you're expressing what you're saying as opposed to just saying it.
Yes.
And most of what you have to say will not look funny on a piece of paper, because a piece of paper doesn't give you the other 93% of your laughter power.
Yes.
Am I making sense?
Oh, totally. In fact, I was hired for Saturday for a half hour, and because I read through so many times your audio, and thank you so much again for letting me do that, because not only did it help me to get this, but I mean, I wouldn't have listened to your audio as many times. And I swear, at least 10, and it started to sink in, you know? And, but when I performed on Saturday, I think it really shifted how I perform. I just kind of stood there more without having to feel like I had to speak, and more facial expressions in reaction and stuff, and then I don't know. I just felt I could feel my character coming through more.
Well, the thing about it is I'm a big proponent of rehearsal, but I'm a proponent of rehearsing properly and rehearsing.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
It cut out after you said rehearsing properly.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that is. Yeah, you got to rehearse properly, and here's the thing. You want to rehearse to be yourself. I know that sounds silly, but you rehearse to say things the way you would naturally say them.
Yes.
You don't make up a look or a head nod or a, you know, whatever. You don't do any of that.
Right.
You start out with stuff that you want to talk about, and you express those types of things in your natural body language. Because here's what happens is when you're talking about things that are personal to you, that you believe in 100% while you're standing on that stage. Now, here's the deal. It doesn't matter if what you're saying is 100% false or 100% true. What matters is that it needs to come across to this. You need to believe every single thing 100% as you're telling these people. Here's the reason why. Because if you do that, then you're facial expressions, body language, voice inflection, tone, pitch, all those things are in alignment. People look at you and they subconsciously know that you're telling them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell them something that's not truthful, then they know that they're being joked, because your body language alignment telegraphs that you're joking them.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm a big proponent of you rehearse naturally. Everything's natural. It's you being you. It's no different than telling a story to 1,000 different people. The only difference is you do it in advance before you tell anybody.
Okay.
And you tell them just the way you would tell them. You know, the only difference is you got a mic in one hand. So that takes out, unless you've got it in a stand, you've got a mic in one hand, which takes out part of your, so you have to account for that. But the rest of everything that you do is absolutely you, the way you would do it, the way you would say it. Do you see why it's so important to start with stuff that you want to talk about first?
Well, yeah, because otherwise, if you're not interested, then nobody else is going to be.
See, comedians that do the joke thing, joke, they have to act through those jokes to make them work. And it's very hard to do that.
Uh-huh.
Takes years and years of practice and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know anything about acting. But for me, high-power stand-up comedy that gets killer laughs, bang, 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 pow, pow, pow. It's all about expressing yourself and knowing where you're going to react and how you're going to react before you ever expose this information to this audience. And then once you're up there, that audience is no different than a single person. I talk to an audience just like they are a single human being.
That's great.
You know, I mean, those are the kinds of things. Now, as far as tightening your material goes,
mm-hmm.
Do you videotape? Yeah, I think you videotape your material.
I just got one of those little whatever flip things, and so I audio tape everything, and I'm just starting to do more videotaping. I had done, you know, actually someone did that one for me where I'm wearing the orange sweater.
Right.
And that night I won a contest with that set.
Well, that's excellent. So I think the what you're looking for is tightening stuff.
Yes.
And the way I use paper is I use paper as a means to put down what it is that I want to say the way I want to say it initially. And then I use the paper to get what I want to say down into the minimal amount of words that I can say, that I need to say the same thing in my own natural voice.
Right.
Because you've got to react. You know, you've got to be able to react to the things that you're saying. I mean, that's all taglines are reactions to other reactions.
Right, right.
So, and again, you want to focus on, and that's why I'm saying if you can videotape, or get recorded video, and now they got video recorders that have a USB that fits right in your computer for $60.
Yes.
You know,
that's what I just got.
You know, so it's pretty easy to eat, you know, and it doesn't have to be the best quality, you know, if it's for evaluation purposes, it doesn't have to be the best quality video.
Right.
You know, it's just about tightening your stuff. So what other questions do you have?
Well, let's see. Maybe it's about getting work. I mean, I saw your thing the other day about Gidpool, which was very helpful because I'm closing in on him age-wise.
I gotcha.
And, you know, I sometimes feel, I don't know if it's valid or not, and I don't want to keep feeling it, but I start feeling like, well, I'm not young and whatever, and so I'm not being chosen for certain things.
Well, I will tell you this. As a general rule in the comedy club market, you can expect more of that.
Okay.
Just
in the clubs, you mean, yeah.
And comedy clubs are the lowest paying, most competitive marketplace. Now, there's a few old fogies that'll squeak through. Very, very.
I'll tell you one thing that is starting. They're starting to hire me for the urban nights, which is, to me, hilarious because, you know, it's a contrast, definitely. Do you have urban nights in Kentucky?
No, but I opened a deaf comedy jam show in a 1,500-seat theater.
There you go.
I was the only pasty white guy to ever open a deaf comedy jam show, and the comedian that followed me got booed off stage.
Uh-oh.
And he was a black guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could be my ticket, even though, like you said, I would really rather try to go towards more, well, I guess it doesn't have to be dirty, but.
Well, I mean, is your act, is it an adult act?
It has been started to become a little more so just when I go into these rooms because I was having to get their attention. you know.
I understand, but I'm just going to tell you the money. If you've got 45 minutes, which it sounds to me like you're inches away from having 45 minutes.
Well, especially with what you're saying, I'm trying to just beef up my material, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, you could go back through your you know, what you've got already. You can, you know, I got the screen I Am Comic, and Louis C.K. talks about what he does with his stuff, which is, I didn't think anybody did that kind of thing except for people like me, but when he said it on screen, it made a lot of sense, obviously, to me. And he would take his closing bit and move it to the front of his act and take the what he was doing in the front of his act to the end and force himself to make it closing material.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I used to rotate my stuff all the time. I'd start out with different stuff because what will happen is your callbacks – if you use callbacks, your callbacks become different.
And that's another thing. It's my goal to get that, to have more callbacks.
Well, it's just a smart-ass remark that, about what you're talking about that relates to what you already talked about. That's what a callback is.
Okay.
That's all it is.
So when I noticed, I think it was in the audio section, or some, maybe you were talking to Kulani, you said something about telling companies or something, I'm working on a family-friendly act and something.
Here's the thing, and you're in a metro area.
Yes.
That means that every single night of the week there's thousands of meetings within 50 miles of where you're at. And you could actually offer to do a free taster. This is what I talked with Git about. Free taster shows. Come in, kill them, do 7 minutes, wait around to give out your card and collect business cards.
Okay.
And if you kill that crowd, somebody's going to come up and say, we've got an event coming up. Are you available?
Right. Okay.
And you and the last thing that you want to do is go, yes, I'm available, and it's $200.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It doesn't roll that way. When you start working in those big things, I told Git, I said, right now, at the level of comedy level that you're performing at and being a no-name, if you're going to do any kind of corporate work, I said the minimum amount that you should charge is $500 for every 15 minutes you're on stage.
Okay.
And I said, let me give you some idea on pricing. If you were to get a gig with a company that has 300 people, they've got 300 people at an event.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Let's just say they have 100 people at an event, and they were to cart those 100 people down to the comedy club for a headliner show, how much would it cost?
Sure. Yeah, so that at least $30, $40 each, minimum.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if they can get, let's just say that they can get in for $12. Lady, that's $1,200, and they don't have to go to the comedy club and spend the two-drink minimum and da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
That's how you position that. That's how you market that. That's how you market your product.
Cool. Okay.
And if you and there's that. There's cruise ship market. Okay. Now, how old are you?
What'd you say?
How old are you?
Oh, I'm gonna be 60 in 2 months.
Excellent. Then you might want to. Are you able to travel?
I could. I'm not really thrilled about ships, but I could.
Well, let me tell you about my little time on cruise ships, and let's see if you get more thrilled.
Okay. I'm okay. Sure I will.
I was performing on, I started out as a no-name, low-level comedian. I was getting the minimum wage pay, which was $1,500 a week for 45 minutes, one 45-minute set.
For one show?
One show. That was, and I was at the low end of the pay scale.
Okay. I'm more thrilled.
So all week, now I'll tell you the ins and outs of that stuff, but all week, I was just like a passenger until my show.
Oh.
I went and did all the ports, did all the cool stuff, blah, 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 had my one show.
So you were being basically paid to take the trip.
That's exactly right. The only thing is after the first week, it's Groundhog Week.
What does that mean?
It means it's the same stuff every week. Same ports, same old Gomers.
Oh.
Same food rotation. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, so, but it's something to consider.
Okay.
I mean, what I recommend that people do is they control their cruise ship activity, meaning to say that they do 6 or 8 weeks a year and that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen too many performers go out there and they start out at 6 weeks and then they do 12 weeks and then they do 34 weeks. The next thing you know, they can't work themselves off of the cruise ship.
Oh, okay.
Because they can't duplicate the money. And when you're out on a cruise ship, you can't promote shows. You can't do anything.
Right.
You're kind of out there. And I knew that I wasn't going to be on cruise ships very long the first week I was on them, because every single entertainer that I met for the entire time that I was on cruise ships was wanting to know how to get off of cruise ships.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they paid fantastic money. There's people out there making $5,000 a week.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but it's of little use if you don't have no place to go, no home life. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to be a special kind of person to be able to do that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Just like you got to be a special kind of person to go around the country and be a stand-up comedian in clubs across the country.
Right.
Am I making sense?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it sounds like for now it's probably best to go around, like you said, and find companies who would want events, like market myself.
Absolutely. You need to have some things in place, and I didn't check for all this stuff, but you need to have a pro website.
Yes.
You know, something that markets you. It's got your resume, bio,
yes.
Contact information, videos, and I recommend that people only put it like 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
Yes, but, like five.
But 3 minutes, because people won't. Trust me, people got the attention span of a gnat.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so just give them 3 minutes. I mean, if you can do it for 3 minutes, you can do it for however long. And if they want more info, then they can request it from you. But, you know, even then, you know, then you send them 20 minutes if they want it. But you don't ever, who's going to use your old act? Nobody's going to sit there and watch that.
Right.
You know? But you just need to have, you know, your stuff prepared and blah, blah, blah. And your biggest promotional tool, once you've started your marketing initially, blah, 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 your biggest tool to get more work is referral business.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, and I pointed this out to Gid, I said, you know, in your local area, you could perform at a number of places. Keep in mind that each one of these things becomes a credit on your resume.
Oh, right.
Oh.
I keep
right.
Okay.
So when it says that you performed for all these places, yes, you did. Doesn't have to say it says recent performances. Doesn't have to say that these were free sample shows.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
No. You performed there. You performed for the Knights of Columbus, the Shriners, the BFW. Blah, 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 whatever it is. Moose Club, Elks Club.
Okay, I did.
Lions Club.
Okay.
Remember, on your resume it says recent performances.
Right.
Okay, so they take a look at this group of people that you've performed for already. Well, you know, and you always make references available upon request.
Okay.
You know, but here's the deal. When you go out and you kill people, keep in mind, especially for these associations and groups and whatnot, those are accumulations of industry leaders, government leaders, not just retired people.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? They're in a position to recommend you now to get hired.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cool part about it. And they've already seen the product.
Right.
They don't have to, you know, get a link from somebody of a YouTube video and say, hey, this is a funny person. They saw you live.
Right.
Live always works better than anything else.
I mean, is this a valid thing to do? I mean, I've been finding it works, and it makes people happy. Like, I was at a party, and last week I was at this group, Kabbalah group. I met with people ahead of time and got all kinds of stuff on the people and did use that as part of my act. I just read this list, and people were going nuts because they knew each other. And about 10, 15 minutes of material.
What I tell people about corporate stuff, and they always get miffed about this, they don't they don't understand that you don't have to know anything about corporate anything. You're being hired as an entertainer. They don't ask the band to come in and know anything about their business before they start singing a cover song of Love Me Do by the Beatles.
Right.
It's no different. It's just it's entertainment. And if they want custom stuff, triple the price.
Oh, okay. Well,
triple
I mean, actually, I was doing it because I was worried I didn't have enough material. Was why I did it.
Well, that's okay. They don't have to know that. I'm just telling you right now. If I have to do custom stuff, they want me to pick on somebody or whatever. It costs more.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because now it's not an out of the box product. It's a custom product.
Right.
That I'm having to spend time on.
Yes. Okay. Well, this is good to know. I mean, I could market it that way. Just say people love this. And I recommend that, you know, we do it, but it's going to cost more because I have to work harder to get it done.
Well, I will tell you another little secret that I'm going to be talking about more. I don't know if I'll talk about much on the blog, but I might do it on phone calls. But if you go to Click2Mail, click the number 2 mail. That's the U.S. Post Office online service. You can send out postcards. You can determine, you can get business lists from them based on business size.
Uh-huh.
So you can get a list in your local area of all the businesses that have 250 or 500 employees or more. Get a list. You can do it by how many of the lists that you want. I think it costs like 15 cents a piece or something. It's just ridiculously low. Get that list, and you can put out a postcard with your picture on it as a marketing piece for as little as 43 cents a piece. Right from your computer. It's all done through the post office. You upload the graphics. You upload, you know, you put in the text that you want it to say, blah, blah, blah. There you go. And you could have a postcard to businesses. I mean, you could spend $4.30 a day after the cost of the list.
Where do you get the list? Do you get that there, too?
You get that there, too.
Wow.
So go look in their list section.
Oh, okay.
Business list, and then it lets you drill down by size of company, demographics, zip code, metro zip code, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, cool. And so just saying this, I do shows.
Well, you need to have a marketing piece.
Yeah.
You need to have a marketing piece, but it's basically two graphics, one for the front of the card to get them to turn the card over, and one for the back of the card with your contact information and website.
Right.
Needs to have something that catches them, that takes them somewhere, that tells them how wonderful you are.
Have you seen my business card?
No.
It's my face on the front of a can of Pam, and then on the back is nutritional information. So maybe I could send it to you. Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
I could send it to you. Because I think, not that we're going to go on and on, but I mean, I think I could use that as a marketing thing that's catchy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that postcard needs to tell them why they need to contact you.
Okay.
You know, it needs to say something like, want to spice up your next event with some real entertainment? Hilarious entertainment? ? You know, contact corporate. Comedian Pam, you know? Hello?
Yes, sorry, I'm writing.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, you got to have I'm a marketer. You need to have a headline that takes people to a call to action.
Right, right. No, this is exciting. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are the kinds of things that I encourage folks to get into because comedy clubs are what they are, and there's plenty of people that are willing to beat their heads against the wall, against that wall. I'm just
right.
Not one of those guys, and I don't teach it because there's just too, you know, you use here's the way I tell people. You use comedy clubs as the $2 whores that they are.
Right.
You know, you use them for stage time. You use them for whatever. You know, you don't leave them out of the mix, but as far as making money goes, you got to be kidding me.
Exactly.
There's too much other money to be made out there if you've got real talent.
Well, that's why I was so encouraged by reading through, because I thought, okay, here's definitely a new way to go.
Well, also, an easy way to get to the blog is just go to steveroy.com. It redirects right to the blog.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So you'll see my my little thing about how many words,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you do your wordsmithing as far as comedy material goes. You do your wordsmithing after you figure out what it is you want to say.
Right.
That's when you do your wordsmithing. This whole thing about creating funny off of a piece of paper, don't! That's a myth that just continues to go around, just like the check is in the mail.
Okay.
You know? And so I'm interested to see how you do. Now, I can also tell you, if you want to get a hold of my system for cheap,
yeah.
Okay, I can tell you how to do it.
Oh, good.
I have a Reader's Digest condensed version of my system on TopComedySecrets.com.
Okay.
You've already went through the audio extensively. So
okay.
If you want to get a copy of my system for cheap, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, all the multimedia files, all the stories. It doesn't cover. It's not as extensive. It's just the bare bones stuff. Well, that's at TopComedySecrets.com.
Oh, okay.
And I will tell you, with the audio and that system, I don't really think you need much else.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you, I just don't think you need it. You just need to know how to structure your stuff.
Right.
You know.
Well,
and
now, something you sent me after I bought the audio was Killer Comedy Interactive Performing Guide and Interactive Writing Guide. Is that it?
Demo.
Says demo.
Oh, that's my demo. That's the first two chapters of the Killer Stand-Up.
Oh, okay. That's
600 pages.
Oh, okay.
In the whole system.
Oh, okay.
That's just the first two chapters.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and it's just really baseline information, just whatever. I'm just, you know.
Oh, okay. No, I just wanted to make sure that we're talking about two different things then.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that there's a, you know, and since you got the audio, then you really don't need a whole lot more. I mean, I'm going to be producing other stuff as I move along, probably more towards marketing.
Uh-huh.
The only reason I'm hesitant to do that is because everyone, I'm not going to say everyone, most comedians are stuck in comedy club stuff.
Yes.
And, I'm not going to fight that.
Right.
I just know where the money's at.
It's a whole mindset. I mean, you know, when you start off, you think, well, the improv's the biggest game in town, and I don't think it takes a lot of reorganizing of your brain to realize that it's not.
Oh, I have comedian friends who can't do comedy clubs because they can't even come close to how much they get.
Exactly. So,
they wouldn't do them, it just doesn't.
Well, plus, I don't think it crosses people's minds that they actually can go out and find work somewhere else, because we've been doing open mics at the clubs to start off with, you know?
Right.
But
well, I mean, the whole comedy club is a genre in and of itself, I'll tell you, you know?
Well, cool. So,
but it's not the only game in town. It's just a hard one to get other people to realize that there's more, there's much more, a lot more. If you've got talent...
Uh-huh.
There's just so much more waiting for people, and you don't have to wait for it. It's there to be had now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't even just tell you how grateful I am for your stuff, because it made me feel like, okay, this is my next direction, instead of beating my head against the wall trying to get into the comedy clubs, because, like you said, except for the urban nights now and then, which, you know, I'm grateful that, that's something. I don't see myself as being a big draw for them. So, and that's all right, because they're not going to probably pay me hardly anything to go there.
Yeah, well, you know, I've headlined 1,500 seat rooms for $200.
Yeah.
And I kick myself now. I don't kick myself because I needed that experience. I wanted that experience.
Right.
But that wasn't where my money came from.
Right. Right.
You know, it came from other gigs. I mean, you're talking to a guy who was in the Navy, okay? The Navy doesn't give you any special time off because you're a comedian.
Right, right.
Okay? And one Christmas, I made almost $15K during Christmas.
I saw that. I mean, yeah, just that is enough for me to go, forget it. It's really?
Well, at the time, let me tell you, that was half my Navy pay.
Well,
and
good.
I was a fairly high-ranking guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it was almost half of my Navy pay.
Cool.
And it's like, you know, now that's, you know, Christmas parties, and you've got to have your marketing set up and ready to go by the end of August.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because committees happen to pick the entertainment, to pick the place, blah blah. I mean, there's so many things that I can give people that I tell people how to do. I mean, I can tell you how to get gigs. If you've got the goods and you've got a clean act, I can tell you how to get gigs almost at will.
Okay. That's what I'm headed for. I'll go buy your system. That way I'll be in your
good graces.
I'll be in the system then, instead of just somebody tagging along on the outside.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you realize this or not, but let me just look at this. I want to make sure that I can find the videos that you sent me.
I'm trying to take off some of my ones from YouTube after what you said.
Oh, I would only, you know what? I'm going to talk about that. As a matter of fact, I've been telling other people, you know how many YouTube videos you see? And let me just tell you, I filmed my act throughout my entire career.
Uh-huh.
I've got it. You know how many YouTube videos I have?
Hmm.
None.
Oh.
None.
Okay.
Now, if I was actively performing, I'd have some.
Oh, right, right.
And they would be select ones, and they would be anywhere from 90 seconds to 3 minutes. That's all.
Uh-huh.
And they would be very select. And I'd use them for traffic generation purposes. You know, so, I mean, but, yeah, so why don't you do this? Because what I'm looking at now is I'm very interested in also promoting folks that get my system and use it.
Right.
And let me tell you, if you look up any of these comedians, if you look up comedian Kalani Malone,
right,
I'm on the first page of Google. Look up
right,
comedian Gid Poole. I'm on the first page of Google.
Right.
So I'm promoting the people that use my stuff. And I'm the only stand-up comedy teacher that can say, hey, not only are they using my stuff, but they got results, and here they're measurable. And here's how you measure them.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
So send me the links to your YouTube video. We'll consider that before, and let's see what happens. Because it sounds like you're cooking already.
Well, it feels like it's just starting, you know. And
I have two angles. I have two angles that I can use with you. If you don't have before and after videos that are of significant difference, that's no problem. But here's what I can do. Is just like I did with Gid, I've been a proponent of more mature adults doing comedy.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Okay. And there is an absence of women comedians on my blog.
Oh, well then.
Well then.
Man or woman.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got multiple ethnic groups. I've got the pasty white guys. Blah, blah, blah. I have everything but the women.
Who is that guy that, he was hilarious. Redman or Red?
J.R. Redwater?
Yeah, he is so funny.
He is the funniest comedian in the world right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, and people laughed when I put that out, and they went, there's no way. I'm like, well, I'm not looking at the content here. I'm looking at the laughs.
Exactly. But
you know?
Funny. I'm going to send it again. It's I've got two things. One of them, they're both on YouTube, so I'll just send it ahead to you.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think one, you know, the one says July 29th, and the other one says September 10th, 08. So it's about a year and a half in between. About a year in between the two.
And you've been doing this for how long?
Well, I actually took a comedy class in 97 and performed then, but it was so sporadic, the amount of performing. My dad died in the meantime, and then I just quit and started up and quit. But for the past couple years, I just made a choice to just really go for it. And last year, I got on stage 254 times.
Goodness. Now, see, that in and of itself is remarkable, because the speed at which you develop as a comedian is directly related to the number of times you can get on stage.
Yes.
It's directly related to. So you've been really cooking in the last couple of years, huh?
I have been. I think I cooked myself, because I'm like, now it's like when I think about going out at night, I'm like, I'm so tired.
And that's because you spent the last 2 years not making any money.
Well, that's it. If I could do the same thing making money, I would do it, you know?
Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but Gid is there in Florida.
Yeah, no, I know Gid.
You actually met him.
I met him in somewhere over in the middle of the state, you know, farm country. I was in a contest, and I made it to the finals. And he was the MC.
Oh, well, excellent.
He should know who I am. I mean, you know, we didn't really talk much, but at least we
right.
knew each other. So.
Well, that guy uses my system, and he uses the Comedy Evaluator Pro for sure.
Well, I saw his video that you put with your blog, and I'm telling you, he's funnier than when I saw him. So I must testify, it really works.
Well, when did you see him?
I saw him a little over a year ago, I think. I think it was in January. You know, I can't even remember. You know what, though, the other thing, Steve, is that he was the MC, so he wasn't doing a whole lot. He was just trying to get everyone
right,
on stage.
Right, and the MC stuff is not, it's not
you
a
You can't
good
tell.
Before.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, because you're taking bullets and warming the crowd up and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and it was not a regular show. He had introduced like 7 or 8 comics, so he had to keep it going and bringing them up. So it wasn't, you know, he didn't have a lot of material time.
Oh, sure.
But when I saw him on your thing, I was like, oh, he really is funny, you know, so that was cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's actually got a longer video than that of that performance. And I think his par score was like 48.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, which means that he was almost half the time he was up there was just laughs. And that's that. And see, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to raise the bar.
Uh-huh.
I want all the unfunny people to leave.
Well...
And so what I'm trying to do is set the bar, develop people that are technicians at this game.
All right.
They know what they're doing, just
I'm
like a paramedic.
To that. It's yeah, no, I appreciate what you're saying, and believe me, you are unique. I'm sure you know it, but it's cool because it's not the same as trying to craft funny jokes. It's just
I won't spend a minute on one joke. No, to me, that's like, I don't know. That's like going out and polishing one fender of your car.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth it. When you can work with 2 and 3 minutes of material at a time, and you're only talking 200 words, come on.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to go focus on the word count.
Well, just to take a look and are you reacting? Are you, you know, how often are you able to react? And let me tell you, I'll give you the perfect example of what doesn't look funny on paper that kills for me every time.
Okay.
I use this example over and over again because it always it still amazes me. I like to talk about stupid people in my act.
Oh, right.
So I say okay. I mean, I'm talking about exceptionally stupid people.
Uh-huh.
People that are so stupid they make the news.
Right.
So here's a 25-year-old Portland, Oregon man standing in his backyard, got a 1-gallon gasoline can bounced on top of his head, which I guess is common there. Now, you laugh, that line, which I guess is common there,
right.
is just a sarcastic, flippant, smart-ass remark.
Right.
And I'll be damned if that thing doesn't get a laugh every single time.
Right.
Now, you read that on paper, and you'll go, there's not a joke here.
Right.
That's because it's not your typical, this is stand-up comedy.
Right.
You know, this is from my perspective, and what makes that work is my delivery, voice inflection and tone, and those kinds of things. Not the word.
Right, right.
Not the words, which I guess is common there. Six words. So you can't go by the words, how they look on paper. It's how you express that stuff.
Right.
What you say. I mean, I don't know if you saw the thing. They captured the main Taliban leader. Did you see that in the news?
No.
I just don't know if he's had time to get a lawyer and a back rub yet. You see what I mean?
Right.
That's my reaction to this.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just wondering what Hilton they have the have the underwear bomber locked up in.
You look at the news and that's your take on, like, I get it.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you watch enough of this nonsense and, like, you know, what else does the guy get? Does he get a pedicure and a coupon to Disneyland?
Exactly. Right, right.
Come on. But that's my sense of humor reaction. That's not yours. It's not anybody else's. It's just me.
Well, right, but you can only write from you.
That's exactly right, and that's why you can look at examples of jokes all day long and not get a thing from them.
Right.
Unless they come from your perspective.
Right, right.
You know, your sense of humor, your point of view, your thing, and that's what comedy teachers don't teach. I have this thing about comedy teachers. I think they're all snake oil salesmen.
Huh.
I know because I almost memorized many of the books that are out there still today telling people how to do stand-up comedy and almost quit because of it.
Huh.
Yeah, because it doesn't work.
Well.
Doesn't produce any results.
No, I know what you're saying for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of my take on it. So hopefully that should give you some ideas on where to go and what to do and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I like working with you. If you want to do something. Oh, by the way, did you look at what I did?
Yes, I did. And I'll tell you what, I should make you put that in full page format instead of that single line before I send you the audio.
Now, say again.
You know how it's in that thin line? It's in the thin column.
Oh yeah, I couldn't figure out how else to work. That's how it came through, and I
know that's how it came through, and I know there's a way to do it. I just haven't figured it out yet. But
well, the thing about it is, whatever you put it into, it will expand at the page because I copied the big page. I tried it from online that you sent us, the Adobe.
Well, I can tell you I know how I need to do it. I'm just messing with you.
Oh.
What you got to do is you got to take that text, paste it in a notepad, and then open up a new Word document because notepad will take out all the formatting.
Okay, well, I'm happy to do that.
I'm just kidding because I'm going to have to mess with it anyway.
I took out the page divisions because it was a different, you know, it kept changing when I took out and added stuff, you know.
Right, right. Well, that's not an issue, not an issue.
Okay. And if you want, we don't have to, I just put like dots and bold and underlines just so that if people are like me, they would lose the thread of where you were going. Do you see what I mean? Where I
Right. Yeah, you know, the reality is the transcript to me, because most people won't read it. You're one of the few people that actually read the stupid thing.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, well.
They're more interested in the audio.
Yeah.
You know, and dealing with that kind of stuff. That's why I just, you know, sometimes I just put stuff out.
I'll tell you what, though. If they've done studies that if you read it while you're listening, it sinks in better.
I wish that was my audience.
The ones that read, you mean?
Yeah, the ones that can even read to begin with. I have actually made comment. There's a blog post that I wrote called What Are Your Chances of Becoming a Comedian? Uh-huh. Or something like that. And I actually put in there, most people don't have a chance at this because they don't have the reading skills.
Oh, funny.
That they need to be able to move ahead.
Huh.
You know? So it's a big, not that I'm any fantastic reader, but come on.
Yeah, there's got to be some.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if comedians were surgeons, there'd be a lot of dead people.
And that's why they aren't.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yes, so cool. All right, well, I'm going to go check out this topcomedysecrets.com. And I would love to, you know, if you think that my stuff is good, then I would love to, you know, be working as the woman in your search.
Well,
older woman at least.
No, see, I didn't see this video.
With the orange sweater?
I never saw this.
Oh, okay. I have two, what do you call it, links. You might have just seen the first one or the second one.
Let me see.
I sent it like a couple days ago. I don't remember the first time I sent it.
Yeah, you may.
On the 13th I sent it.
Yeah, I get so many emails.
Yeah.
And right now I'm just finishing up coaching.
Right, cool.
So this one, 9-10-08, so you let your hair grow out.
Yes, and also I have some new jokes about my hair, so I'm going to keep this style for a while.
Oh, well, yeah, well, go for it.
Okay.
And you're saying that this latest video is, what did you say your score was?
On that video, it was, it averaged 29.5 and par 49. It was longer than 3 minutes, so I had to do it in two chunks.
That's exactly what I wanted people to do. See, because there's a reason why I put that free version out there.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Shoot, yeah. I don't want just comedians using this, you know, because for all intents and purposes, most people don't need to use this.
Uh-huh.
But I want regular people to go, and I'm about to put out a thing that says, how funny is your comedian? Your favorite
game. Oh, huh, that's funny. Well, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of business from it, from putting that as a...
Once this documentary comes out, yeah, I'm going to get a lot of business.
Oh, you're having a documentary. Good for you.
I was featured in a documentary called I Am Comic.
Oh, wonderful.
That hasn't been released yet.
Cool.
And what I was featured for is Comedy Evaluator Pro.
There you go.
So I went to Slam Dance Film Festival to see the world premiere of it. They premiered it in L.A., and they're doing some other film festival stuff. But
wonderful.
But it's going to get sold.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, why did you say you wanted people to average it out like that?
No, I want people to see. And I've been focusing on par score, and I've been made fun of about this whole par score thing.
Oh.
I have an ongoing feud with Shecky Magazine.
Oh.
They like to belittle me, and I like to belittle them back.
Okay.
Because they think it's all a big joke. So I'm focusing now on seconds of laughter per minute.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, as soon as you see that, then you go, good. And, you know, this is where, now I know. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Well, I just want you to understand something that, and this is what comedians don't get, because comedians get used like the whores that they are by the people who hire them, especially for comedy club people. If you're performing, if this is true, and you're getting that kind of seconds of laughter per minute, Pam, you're on top of the food chain.
Well, I mean, that's at the big club. Like I said, when I tried out it, I was at a show on Saturday, and I averaged 12 seconds.
How many people were in that one room?
I was trying to think, about 50.
Okay, I can promise you that Joe Jerry Seinfeld wouldn't be hitting 40s or 30s.
Oh, okay.
In that room.
All right. Because I averaged, let's see, 23 and 17 is 40. I averaged 20 par in 12 seconds. And I thought, oh, God, I need to give up immediately.
Yeah. But there were other performers there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And how did they do, comparatively speaking?
It was hard to tell. Let me put it this way. I didn't feel like it was one of my most dynamic performances. I felt like I did pretty good, but there were too many lags. There were a couple others who didn't do well at all, and there were a couple others who did internet jokes or.
Right.
Oh, I'm on a calling card, and I have 1 minute left, so I'm probably
going to cut off. It's time to get off. All right.
Guess so.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks,
Steve. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.